Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and today is Thursday, January 1st, 2026. Yay! And we are reading from the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 11, the third paragraph, "But my friend sat before me," ending with "better than the best he had ever known." Today's readers are Shelley E., who will read the text, Cara L., A Vision for You, and Chanel T. is our backup. Alice G. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, December 31st, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,076. And for Thursday, January 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,078. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Chanel T. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Chanel.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, Chanel T., grateful and recovered today by the grace of God. Here in Washington State. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects.
Hope you cut out, Chanel. Chanel, get remuted. Might be heard.
Barbara from New Jersey, overeater.
Oh, Barbara, we're in the middle of the meeting. Chanel, are you there?
Yeah, I know. I'm a little late. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're in the format. So if you could mute, please, Chanel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I will read the steps. I'm not sure what happened here. Okay, I'll start from the beginning. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Thank you, Joanne.
Oh, good morning, and thank you once again, Susan, for your service, and thank you everyone on the line, especially the newcomers. Happy New Year. The 12 traditions, I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, excuse me. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, in other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. In the chapter Bill's Story, we're on page 11, the third paragraph. But my friend sat before me, ending with, better than the best he had ever known. I will now ask Shelley E. to please start reading and then share with us. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, my fellows. Happy New Year. The Big Book, page 11. But my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. Then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. And welcome to the newcomer. If this is your first day, welcome. You're in the right place. Stay. I can't say enough about this OA meeting. It has helped me immeasurably, as has it's helped me in more ways than I think I even know. So here we are to the paragraph. He made the point, the point blank. I don't know why these three words are so hard for me to say today. He made the point blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. When I entered the rooms, I thought I had a pretty good base with God and a pretty good discussion on a daily basis with God. I certainly know that I was begging God to help me. Little did I realize I was really approaching, or my higher power, I'm sorry if that's hard for everyone. I certainly know I was approaching my higher power in the wrong way. I was begging and not really meeting God halfway. I do know that I had tried everything at that point except for surgery. And if you've done surgery, then you've tried one more thing than I have. But I had tried everything. And not only that, I had been successful. I had lost 100 pounds probably three times and managed to gain that 100 pounds and more back each time. I was admitting complete defeat when I entered the rooms. Not only that, it says, Bill was taken from this. I'm so sorry. This is Debbie. He had been taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. When it says scrap heap here to me, I can identify in that. While I was not suicidal, I really did not care if I lived or died at that point. I was that miserable. I was not engaging in life. Life was passing me by. My children were growing up before my very eyes. And I was not present. I was not there. I was there for them in a way that was not the healthiest. Anyways, I can identify with this in that I was in the scrap heap personally. I didn't really care if I lived or died. I can honestly say I do now. And that having been reunited with my higher power, with program, that I am living the best life that I have ever known. The last thing I'll say is I never would have thought, just coming off of this holiday period for myself, that I never would have thought that my kitchen counter could be full of all the goodies and that I would be baking and doing all of these things and have no problem realizing that those things are not my food. So anyways, if you're a newcomer, stay. And Happy New Year. And thank you so much, Susan, for all of your time that you give us. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Shelley E. All right. Before we move on, in case you came in halfway through Shelley's share, we read the paragraph today on page 11, the third one, but my friend sat before me through to the best he had ever known. So that's the one paragraph that we're going to comment on. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you is your first name, your last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. So who would like to share on this paragraph today?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen.
In California.
Jennifer P.
Donna.
Sherry H.M. Donna, where are you from?
Donna B. from Massachusetts.
Okay.
Polly Q. Northern California.
Okay.
Wendy M.
Thank you, Wendy.
Deborah G.
Deborah, good morning. Thank you. Anyone else for this first lineup? All right, I have Karen KZ, Kerry N, Jennifer P, Donna B, Sherry HM, Polly Q, Wendy M, and Deborah G. So I think I know where everyone is from other than Kerry, but I think I do. Anyway, so first off, we have Karen KZ, and if everybody else could please mute their line. Karen, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Happy New Year to everybody, and may we all be recovered this year and experience all the joy. I love this paragraph. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded, it wasn't really what Ebby said. It was how Ebby lived, and he felt it. He saw it. He heard it, but he saw it. But more, he could feel a difference in him. And I love when Ebby said, God had done for him what he could not do for myself, because that has been my experience in this program, that my will had failed, and it still fails if I try to use it, and I still do try to use it, by the way. But every day I invite God to take me over, to think his thoughts, speak his words, and act his actions so that he's glorified. And it just changes my life. And I look for God and good in everybody. And I trust and rely on God and not my finite self. That's my prescription, if you will, for every single day. And what has happened is God has transformed me. I didn't do it. I couldn't fix my fault finding. I couldn't fix my whatever. I can't do it. God can, if and when I let God. So I think
everyone can mute themselves. Sorry, Karen, someone was unmuted. Go ahead.
I think for me, that prescription that I use is what keeps me letting God take over, and it keeps God actually doing. So I'm this nicer person. Like when my husband says, Karen, can you do that? Instead of saying, think, what do you want now, which I used to think, now I say, how can I help you? But that's not me trying to be that. That is God doing that for me and having me be who he created me to be. So I am so excited that for this program, for Vision, because before Vision, I've been in since 1987, and before Vision, all I thought it was about was abstinence. And now I have to have entire abstinence, but the steps and this relationship and this reliance on God is the greatest gift of my life. And this new year, I'm just thanking God all day long because my life is so filled with blessings. So I'm so glad that we're all here together because I need all of you. Bless you all. Pass.
Thank you so much, Karen. And as a reminder, when you press star one, it will tell you if you're muted or unmuted. So if everybody could keep an eye on that. Thank you. Next, we have Kerry N. And Kerry, if you could remind me where you're from and everybody else, go ahead, please.
Hi, it's Kerry N. from California. I'm a compulsive overeater and so glad to be on this meeting today. Welcome to any newcomers. Well, this is my favorite paragraph. I've been around actively in OA for about 16 years. And from the very start, this jumped out at me and I wrote it on an index card and read it every time I shared. Basically, I'm just back from a relapse, and I have a very clear understanding that I'm powerless over food, and my life has become unmanageable, and I am not able to, on my own, manage that process in life of feeding myself. So I'm working with a sponsor, and I'm actually on step one, which this, of course, is step one for me, just to be able to say that, you know, my human will had failed and doctors had pronounced me incurable, morbidly obese. And as far as the other side of this with personal relations and functioning in society, I am getting help with that, with a connection with a power greater than myself. And I'm just very glad to be here. I did hear somebody say that the process of me turning my will and my life over to the care of God is greatly helped by watching other people do it. And to be able to see the difference that a connection with a power greater than themselves, how that makes in their lives, and to see the difference in the way they look and the way they act has been very helpful. So I and many others have been raised from the dead and taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best that I've ever known. And yes, Happy New Year, everybody. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kerry. Next, we have Jennifer P. in New Jersey. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Jennifer P. living in recovery today, by the grace of God, from New Jersey. So this made me think of, you know, the friends that have sat before me, making that point blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. You know, for me, coming in the rooms almost 30 years ago, it wasn't at first a friend that sat before me. It was my mother telling me, I think, about OA from, as we've heard many people say, from like a Dear Abby column. But from there, it became, you know, the people that sat before me in the rooms, you know, when we had in-person meetings, with the love, the kindness, the caring, and the message of recovery, and the physical demonstration of recovery as well, you know, that there is a solution, that I don't have to live at a weight where I'm, someone's asking me on a plane if I'm pregnant in my black dress. So that was when I first came in, you know, and then now years later, you know, it doesn't have to be the friend that sits before me. It can be the friend that I hear and see on a meeting, my sponsor, who, you know, she didn't sit before me, but she talked to me and there was joy, love, connection in her voice that said she understood. She understood. And physically, I had also, you know, seen her on a meeting, and as well as others, like, it's about what's in their eyes. You can see recovery. And so even though I had found myself, you know, struggling once again 1 year ago, thank God I reached out to people who I had seen the recovery, had heard the recovery on these meetings. And they told me about meetings. They said, you need to go to strong meetings. You need to pull up a chair and be in the center of the herd. And that is what I have learned to do today, to admit complete defeat, to listen and take direction, and to know that I had better do service. I had better spread the message. I had better work with others. If I've been taken and raised from the dead, from the scrap heap to a level of life better than I've ever known, I want to do that today. That's the difference. I want to do that today. So on New Year's Eve, I want to speak to one of my sisters in recovery who could use the phone call, because I can use the phone call today too. So today I just want to say I have incredible gratitude, because my human will had failed. I had felt incurable. And today, because of the beautiful, beautiful people that God has put in my life, and you know, all of you know who you are, all of you on this line this morning, I'm able to carry the message and to walk in gratitude. With that, I will pass. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Donna B. in Massachusetts. Good morning, Donna.
Hi, this is Donna B. Grateful to be on this meeting. Happy New Year, everyone. I love this paragraph. Abby, when Abby came to him, Bill was interested by what Abby had to say. Human will failed him. He was defeated, and he knew it. We all get defeated by this disease. It's an incurable disease. This program gave Bill hope. Bill had no place to go, as we all, no place to go. And so we're here, and this program is better than anything. This disease gets its grips on us. This disease murders us. It will never go away, but prayers to our higher power, a spiritual experience in the 12 steps of recovery, will put it to rest one day at a time. And I have to say, the 12 steps, we can live with the 12 steps in a spiritual awakening. We can live with it without acting on it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. in Massachusetts. Next, we have Sherry H.M. in Washington State.
Good morning and Happy New Year, everybody. Gosh, this is my favorite sentence in the whole big book. God had done for him what he could not do for himself. And then it talks about he admitted complete defeat, and he'd been raised from the dead. Oh my gosh, this was so me. I would just be so just strung out on sugar, 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 mostly sugar. I mean, some other, you know, foods as well. And I just was so chained to it. And I thought, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? How can I be successful in other parts of my life? But this, I just keep shoving this sugar down my face. And then I go down the elevator shaft of shame. And then I come back up and say, I'll never do it again. And on and on and on and on. And to have just passed through the holidays, today being the last, actually the end of it. And I didn't have any sweets. And that's been going on for 11 years because of God and this program. I had called my friend after I had had tons of medical bills for lupus and ankylosing spondylitis. So I called her up because I remembered from Al-Anon. She told me she was in this program and some other people as well. And 6 years after she told me about it, that's when I was finally ready and defeated. And so then by doing these steps, by all of you wonderful people being in these meetings, being in the book, sponsoring, and all of this stuff, it's changed my life, and it is better than it's ever been before. And I'm just so, so grateful. And I remember thinking years ago, oh, I can't ever do that. I can't do what those people are doing. You know, and I was right. I can't do it. But God's taken away all of the, you know, the cravings. I don't even care about it. And only when I'm not spiritually fit, when I'm, you know, soaking in self-pity, I got my black belt in self-pity, when I'm not working my stuff, and when I don't pick up the heaviest object in the universe, the phone, then that's when I can, you know, kind of go back thinking, oh, maybe this would taste good. But I have to just, with God's power, turn it all over and do the steps. So don't give up, and thank you so much for your service, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry, so much. Next, we are going to Northern California. Good morning, Polly Q.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you so much for your service. Oh, my gosh, I love this paragraph. You know, the thing about it is that I want, I am in an obsessive compulsive thinker. I don't mean I have OCD. I mean that I have an ego that is always trying to tell me I can figure it out. And you know, all the preceding paragraphs are just that, right? Bell's going to figure it out. He's going to figure it out. He's going to have the belladonna treatment. He's going to do all of these things. And he's going to end up being pronounced dying. And so he sits in there, and here comes Ebby, who is an addict of the hopeless variety, just as I am. And Ebby is going to be there because he was going to go to get locked up, like he says, right? But he's given an opportunity by the judge, and the Oxford group people take him in. They don't care anything about his alcoholism. They just are going to try to give him God. And they do this thing, and he gets it. For a minute, he gets it. But that is how God uses him. He comes in for that minute, and he talks to Bill when Bill is absolutely on his knees. And that's going to trigger what we all benefit from now. We're going to have a solution to an incurable disease. And Ebby started that off, but he continued to struggle. I'm sure Bill did as well, as I continue to struggle, because I've got that thinker-upper. I've got that ego that's telling me, you can do this, Bill, come on. I've got that self-will run riot. But Bill continues on this spiritual journey, helping others. I actually do not usually sponsor newcomers. I'm a relapser, so I sponsor relapsers, right? And so because that's when you're ready. You know, and there's a lot of newcomers, I'm sure, that stay ready. But I'm of the hopeless variety, and I didn't. And I tried. I so tried, just like Bill. But it doesn't work like that. I have to work this program, all of it. And my ego is so diabolical that it will fight me on it. So I have to continue this spiritual journey. It's not a one and done. And I love Ebby for that, because he's like me, and he's having to figure that out. He's going to have to figure that out, too. And Bill is also, no.
That's time,
Bill
Polly.
Wants to help others. So you're in the right place. Welcome. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you so much. Next, we have Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Susan. And Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks for your service, Susan. Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Wow. Oh, here we go. So in the paragraph before, you know, he's so into self. He's so into, and me too, self-pity, self-obsession, right? He even says, like, if there was a devil, seemed the boss universal, he certainly had me. Like, he puts he and the devil in the same sentence. And then, and I heard this morning, the key word here is but, okay? So we're going from black and white to technicolor, right? But Bill sees, feels, hears, experiences God through this very beautiful point-blank declaration. Nothing fancy, no shouting, no screaming, no cajoling, no convincing, just a declaration, so simple, right? God had done for him what he could not do for himself. Bill got that. Bill, the God in Bill saw the God in Ebby, and Bill knew. And when we know, not from his head, but from his heart, from his experience, he's experiencing God in this moment. God is showing up now as like the key player, right? And God is absolutely doing for me what I could not do for myself. I absolutely, when I put God in front of me, thank you, Lord, to do that, right? Everything goes exactly as it needs to go, right? I am so, so happy, joyous, and free. I can't even begin to tell you. I'm a completely different person, right? But that requires that we have to put everything down, right? I have to not just admit complete defeat, but it's a verb. I have to live a life of complete defeat. Wendy knows nothing. Wendy gets out of the way so God can do God's magic. You know, that's how we do this. But the beauty of this paragraph is that Bill saw God. Bill saw it. It's one thing to be surrounded by God and not see God, not experience God. But, you know, sometimes I'll just tilt my head to the right and ask myself, where's God in this? Oh, there's God. There's God. And Bill knew it. Bill knew it. You know, so again, it's not just admitting complete defeat. It's living a life of complete defeat. And I'll tell you something. When I'm running the show, I always say this. It feels itchy and scratchy. It feels so uncomfortable for Wendy to be in self, which is where Bill was in the first, in the paragraph prior. And then he's not in self. He's in God, right? So when I'm doing God's will, that means it's pure, it's honest, it's kind, it's loving. That's God's will. Everything else is Wendy's will. When I'm in Wendy, I'm in where you know all this. Oh, one last thing. I sat at that table at Stepping Stones in it was a vision conference, and we all went to Stepping Stones where Bill had lived, and I sat in the chairs table with one of my fellows, and we just cried our eyes out. Thank you, God, for this program. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you. Next, we have Deborah G. in Arizona. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Susan. And thank you. Thank you so much for your service and everyone that makes this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us this morning on this new year. And happy new year to everyone. And I was reminiscing all the years that I'd been in different OA programs and going through the steps and all this, you know, but I wasn't really willing. I wasn't honest. I wasn't open-minded, and I wasn't willing. But I was just going through the motions, thinking something was going to happen to me. And so it wasn't until fast forward, because I kept relapsing and relapsing, and when I came into visions, I had an awakening, an awareness of what was brought to me of an alcoholic food, because I knew most of them, but there was one that was brought to me that I really had an awareness for the first time, but I didn't want to let go of. And I kept using it and using it. And then I had another awakening where I had a fork in one hand, salt shaker in the other, it was salt. I was salting every single bite of food I was putting in my mouth. And that's when I finally surrendered. That's when I surrendered and said, I can't do this anymore. And I put it down. I called a woman that I heard in special edition share. I loved what she had. I loved her spirituality, and she's my sponsor still today. And I asked her, I told her what was going on with me, and I asked her if she'd take me through the steps, and she did. And you know what? In that experience, God was able to work me. You know, I've learned that it's not about me doing it. It's about me going through the experience, the actions, and it works me. That beautiful, divine, loving power presence works me and loves me, and I can feel that. And so now I need to continue, I love what was shared, to keep myself out of the way so that I can have that life, that beautiful, abundant, abstinent life that I have today. But it's a continual getting myself out of the way. And I'm so grateful all of you can help me hold hands and do this. Be reminded.
That's time.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you. And before we take the next list, let me remind you where we are in case you came in midway. We're on page 11, third paragraph, but my friend sat before me through to better than the best he had ever known. So if this is your third day on either vision meeting to share, I'd love to hear from you, your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Who would like to share today?
Denise P. from Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Denise.
Janice M. in California.
Jenny M. in California. Okay. Thank you. Who else?
Right, Linda H. from Georgia. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Linda. That's okay. No. I just wanted to make sure we get everybody in. Thank you.
Joanne L., Rhode Island.
Thank you, Joanne. And let's stop there because we might run out of time. So I have Denise P., Jenny M., Linda H., and Joanne L. So would Denise P. in Pennsylvania please share with us, and everyone else please mute your line. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you, Susan. Happy and hopeful New Year 2026 to all of us and those who are in our we. I want to keep reading from other parts of the book, even though we're to stay on this paragraph. I remember a woman, Sheila, probably 25 years ago, said, "You're going to die." And as I started getting back on food and weighed and measured very strenuously, and I thought, "I'm not going to die." And later I learned I died spiritually. There was a spiritual death, hitting the bottom spiritually. No, I never died. No, I didn't get any of these diseases that I could have had. And so with that, the idea that my great dark past is the key to happiness for others. Well, it says also on page 124, with it you can avert death and misery for them by sharing this. And that kind of death, and I am learning that death to self is really the bottom line. And will is such different when it's aided by my higher power, not an unaided will. Also, just want to share that in 1:2:28, it says that the beginning, that was the beginning of a new life, a fuller life, a happier life than I have ever known or believed possible. I had found friends, understanding friends who often knew what I was thinking and feeling better than I knew myself. And then, and this is the holy higher power drop in here, that on page 436, in me, an alcoholic, foodaholic, many times in the intervening years, I have thanked God for that woman, a man who had the courage to admit failure, a man who had the humility to confess that all the hard-won learning of his profession could not turn up the answer. And in this story, this person looked up AA meeting and went there alone. And so that spirit of humility that comes through each of us sharing, just so grateful for that. I'll keep coming back, share this big book, even when I don't want to. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Of course, thank you so much, Denise P. in Pennsylvania. Next, we have Jenny M. in California. Good morning. Jenny, star one to unmute, please.
So sorry. I'm talking
okay.
away. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much for your... Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, thank you so much for your service this morning, Susan. I am Janice, J-E-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, I-C-E, initial N as in Nancy, and I live in Northern California. I'm just very gratefully a recovered compulsive eater, restrictor, artificial sweetener addict. By God's grace and mercy today, Happy New Year. I love that we're reading this paragraph today because for all those, I'm welcoming anybody who's here for the first time today with a New Year's resolution. And I pray that the difference between yesterday and today is as momentous as what Abby is declaring in this beautiful, beautiful paragraph. I'm going to put this in the first person. I'm making a point-blank declaration right now that God has done for me what I could not do for me. My human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced me incurable. Society was about to lock me up. And I've been raised from the dead, taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than I've ever known. And the two things that really stuck out for me in this paragraph is, number one, I grew up in a family that actually owned scrap metal businesses, and we would go to the scrap yard. And the thing that I think is so poignant here is that the scrap metal was really just the remnants of these big, beautiful, primarily what I would think of when I would see these cars crushed, was beautiful cars that had once been really beautiful. And I've always related to Bill's story, you know, this sumptuous apartment, this grand lifestyle. And at one time, that was what I had. That was what I grew up with. I wanted more of it. There was never enough of it. And for today, what I love about it is all those beautiful cars become scrap at some point. Became scrap, but I was raised from the scrap heap. And now what I long for is to live in the prayer of St. Francis. I seek to comfort rather than be comforted, to love rather than be loved, to understand rather than to be understood. And that is a miracle. And I also love the fact that Evie made this point blank declaration about God. He did not, and they were party buddies. I mean, he had no fear that Bill was going to stop at him or ridicule him. He was like in there to do the thing. And
that's
he
kind.
Didn't. Thank you. I appreciate you letting me share.
And I'm sorry I messed up your name. That was Janice N. Financi in California. Next, we have Linda H. in Georgia. Go ahead, Linda.
Good morning and happy new year. This is my first time to share. I've been coming to a vision for you for about a year, I think, but I've always felt inadequate to share. I'm a constant, I lose my abstinence a lot. In fact, today's day one again, but I'm hopeful because of this paragraph saying I just have to surrender. And that's not just, because that's hard to do. I am a sugar addict. It calls to me. It pulls on me. But today I'm taking God's hand and just putting my trust in Him that He will deliver me and put me on solid ground. And this paragraph is very encouraging that I'm going to experience a level of life better than I had ever known. And I'm looking forward to that. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you, Linda. And our last share today will be Joanne L. in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Joanne.
Oh, thank you very much, Susan, again for your service and for reading those 12 steps today. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I, like everyone else, I love this paragraph. And I have to share something because God is sitting here next to me saying, do it, do it. And so say it, say it. And I know that we are OA, but I have to tell you this because if it wasn't for AA, I never would be here today in OA. And 32 years ago today, and I cry, God introduced me to step one. I woke up on a New Year's Day, and I had it. And I got down on my knees, and I just yelled out to God. And I said, please help me. And you know what? It was a beautiful thing because I admitted I was powerless, you know, over food and alcohol. And then also I admitted that my life had become unmanageable, which it really had. And so from that moment forward, it was a spiritual awakening. When we read that spiritual awakening, I have the third edition on page 569, it explains, you know, that spiritual awakening was very sudden. And it was for me. It was a miracle what happened to me. The drink, the alcohol, and the drugs got removed from me instantly in a second. And never again in my whole entire life did I ever, ever, ever want any of those substances ever again. 6 months later, I came into OA. And you know something? I have never left. Now, this was more of an awakening, and it will tell you about the awakening on that same page. And the awakening was slow for the food. You know, at first, yes, I was Miss OA. I lost 60 pounds when I first came in. But then, you know, slowly I put it back on, and I struggled. Let me just say this before my time is up. If you're new and you're here for the first time, or you're like me, you've been here for years, I struggled for so many years because I did not want to surrender to God. And I had a God in my life that I loved, and I knew He did this for me with the alcohol. But no, I took back my will. I wanted to be the boss. I wanted to be my own boss, and I did not want to surrender. So I just want to say, the one thing I did was I kept on coming. No matter what my weight was, no matter how heavy I was, it didn't matter. I just kept on coming, and I kept on praying.
That's fine.
Thank you. And you, too, can have it. Don't leave before the miracle happens. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Lovely. And thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you to our new Thursday team in January, Shelley E., Cara L., Chanel T., Kathleen C., Joanne L., Alice G., and Leslie M., who will host you when we finish. So if you are a sponsor or need a sponsor, please stay on. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Cara L. in Southern California, will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Good morning. This is Cara L., Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Long Beach, California in Portland today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in a fellowship of the Spirit, and you surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.